the home. "Put the chair to the door," said Paddy. "I think Head Crow is on to us." Ben pulled the chair across and wedged it under the handle of the door while Paddy rummaged at the back of his locker and produced the naggin of whiskey. He poured some into his glass and into a mug for Ben. "Why do you think she's on to us?" "She's calling in here more often than is natural, with nothing more to say than comment on the weather or to feel the radiator. The owl crow is as cute as a fox." They both added water to their whiskey from the tap in the hand basin and sat back, Paddy on the bed and Ben on the easy chair, to indulge their nightly ritual before going down to the sitting room among the women to watch the 9 o'clock news. Paddy and Ben were by way of an experiment in the home. Sister Angela, disturbed by the bitchiness of the old ladies, convinced the order that their behaviour would improve if she took in men, and the order agreed to try by starting with two. Initially she was pleased with her choice, as they worked well together from the start. Both widowers in their early 80s, and fit for their age, they settled in quickly. They sat together at meals and beside each other in the circle in the sitting room, and went out for walks together in the afternoons. They had separate rooms, which didn't go down well with the ladies, who, apart from two or three of them, had to share. As far as improved behaviour was concerned, there was less bickering when the men were there, and Paddy's humorous ways lightened the company when he was present. Sister Angela had hoped that they would have mixed more with the ladies, but with only two of them, she understood. "Did you see that row at lunchtime when Sadie sat in the wrong place? They're a shocking crowd of owl ones," said Ben. "Waiting around to die is all they're doing. They've all given up," said Paddy. "Well, be God, I'm not giving up that easy. There's life in the owl dog yet, and he's going to live it to the full. Head crow or no head crow." "She's a decent owl skin all the same," said Ben. "Where would all these owl biddies be without her? And sure, where would we be?" "Without her, we'd be able to come and go as we please, and have a smoke when and where we wanted," said Paddy. "And we wouldn't be hounded to go to that chapel against our will. Religion is a matter for free conscience, but for her, belief in God is compulsory. Do you believe in God?" "Of course I do," replied Ben. "Didn't I believe in him all my life?" "Well, do you believe in him now, after being in here and seeing all these owl ones at different stages of decay?" There was a knock, and the door was pushed forward into the chair that jammed it. Paddy grabbed the naggin and Ben's mug and put them with his glass into the locker. "Just a minute, sister," he said. "The chair is in the way." He moved the chair and, standing back, opened the door to Sister Angela. "I don't think it's a good idea to spend so much time in your room," she said. "You should spend more time with the ladies." "We're both a bit shy, sister," said Paddy, "and we're not very good at the knitting." "They like your company, you know," she said. "Well, that doesn't surprise you now, sister," said Paddy. "Two fine young fellows like us, but we're afraid of being the means of them putting immoral thoughts in their minds and putting their immortal souls in danger. When we're there, you'd never know what they'd be thinking. But we'll be going down for the news in a few minutes." "Is the new ferrule on your stick an improvement?" she asked Ben, ignoring Paddy's comments. "You need to be careful on those tiles in the hall." She went, leaving the door open behind her. When he heard her footsteps on the stairs, Paddy closed the door gently. "I told you she was on to us," he said, as he took the drinks out of the locker. They knocked back the whiskey, swilled out the glass and the mug, and went downstairs to the sitting room. The room was large and oblong, with the television in the bay window at the far end from the door. The room was overheated and stuffy, the carpet was shabby, and there were two large reproduction pictures on the walls. A row of assorted chairs lined the room. Every chair was filled except theirs, every woman sitting in her own chair. Some were reading, one or two knitting or sewing, most just sitting and staring ahead, and two of them were in a twilight zone, as though they'd had a knockout punch from a heavyweight boxer. Paddy and Ben took their places in the circle and watched the ads. It wasn't that the 9 o'clock news was compulsory, but cocoa and biscuits arrived after the weather forecast, and the nurses helped those that needed help to their rooms. Paddy and Ben were both smokers, and the only time they were allowed to smoke in the sitting room was when all the women had gone to bed. The news began, but no more than two or three of the women took any notice. "There's no good news these days," one of them said. "There never was and there never will be," said Paddy. "You have to make your own good news, and if you don't, no one will." No response. A nurse came in and put a tray with mugs and biscuits on the table in the centre of the room. The news droned on with pictures of rioting in the Middle East. The nurse returned with a big jug of cocoa. The news ended and the weather forecast began. The sprightly Mrs. Martin, who always poured the cocoa, went to the table, and two others handed around the cocoa and biscuits. Some of them didn't take it, and others had to wait till the nurse came back to help. Neither Paddy nor Ben took cocoa. They were waiting for them all to be gone to bed to have the place to themselves for a smoke. One by one, they drifted off to bed, the nurse helping the feeble ones. Paddy changed the channel and looked around impatiently. There was one left, and she was asleep. "Get up out of that and go on to your bed till we have a bit of peace and a smoke," Paddy said under his breath. Ben coughed and banged the arm of his chair. "She knows bloody well she's trying to torment us," said Paddy. The nurse came back for the tray. "Are you not in bed yet, Mrs. Kelly?" There was no response. The nurse went over and shook her. "Mrs. Kelly, it's time for bed." The old woman fell forward. The nurse could find no pulse. "Give me a hand, Paddy," the nurse said calmly as she laid her gently on the floor. "Be God, there'll be no smoke tonight," said Ben, as he picked up his stick and made for the door.